Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started. You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Oh, it's hour two. It's a Friday. It is an absolute pleasure. Thank you so much for joining us. This is The Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. Fox Sports Radio, iHeartRadio, FS1. It's nice to have you in today. I didn't wear a t-shirt. I'm a little off. I usually have a Tommy John t-shirt on, and this morning I was rushed. I was doing a lot today. My life is very... A lot of stuff going on, very frenetic these days. I didn't have time, and so I don't have a t-shirt, and I'm a little chilly, and I'm sweating. It's just not working for me right now.
They can bring you one up here.
You know what? You know what? My job sometimes is to overcome me. So I'm going to overcome me.
You have no idea how many times I've had to go into the back of the studio, and like I've come out here with my dress on inside out.
Really?
Yes, it was inside out the other day, actually. I didn't notice until I got on set. I've done an entire show with my dress on inside out and backwards before. So,
oh, maybe you need to go into the woods and reflect on your life.
I mean, it happens. There's a lot going on. Zippers and...
Yeah,
you know.
I get it. All odds prevented by Fox Bet. It's time for our Blazing Five off a winning week. Back-to-back winning weeks. Here we go.
That's a hot one. Let's blaze it up.
Fire it up.
It's Collins Blazing Five. Bills at Broncos.
I'm going to take Denver +6. I am concerned about their injuries at cornerback, but this is a perfect letdown spot for Buffalo. Josh Allen, first trip to Mile High. The Bills have been in several big emotional wins. Now they go west. Second cross-country trip in the last few weeks. Denver has a really good defensive coach, and Josh Allen can make mistakes. They're top 10 in everything that matters. Top 2 in pass touchdowns allowed, top 7 in sacks. Drew Lock, last couple of weeks, appears to have at least stabilized. Don't love him, but he's stabilized. And the Broncos, by the way, second best against the spread bet in the league to Miami. I think Buffalo, so well coached, probably figures out a way to win, but I'm taking the points with Denver, 26-23 Bills.
Patriots at Dolphins.
Everybody, I'm going to take Miami -1.5. Here's what I hear. What about Tua against Belichick? What about Cam Newton against this defense, which is, to me, the first or second best defense in the NFL? Miami is second in points per game, first in takeaways, third down first, passer rating third. What about Cam, no weapons, and that? Listen, Brian Flores is the perfect coach for Tua in this game because young quarterbacks struggle with Belichick. Flores is going to go, kid, I was with him for 7 years. This is what you're going to see. And Tua doesn't make mistakes. Now, he may not have the talent of a Josh Allen or a Joe Burrow or Herbert, but he doesn't make any mistakes. 9 TDs, 1 pick this year. He's very safe. I get a better team. I get a better defense. I get a great young coach. I get a team playing for more. Miami wins this game 24-20, and we all know the Patriots stink late in the year at Miami.
Seahawks at Washington.
I'm going to take Washington. The line's moved a bit here. I'll take Washington +5.5. Seahawks last 9 games have covered the spread 3 times. Why? They're overvalued. Their offensive line is the weak point, and the defensive line for Washington is the strength. I think this game gets really ugly. I think this game is also about Ron Rivera. Early in the year, he was taking cancer treatments, energy. It was different. He's out of that. He's more robust and dynamic. This team is now in a 4-game winning streak. And during that streak, they're number 1 in the league in point differential. They're number 2 in turnover differential. Ron Rivera is now working. Folks, in this 4-game winning streak, they're allowing 14 a game. They've also got 4 players with 5 sacks. It's not just Chase Young. I think the Washington defensive front against Seattle's ultimate liability makes for a low-scoring, very ugly game. Again, Russell Wilson tends to figure out a way to win these games on the East Coast late. Seattle wins 21-20, but I like Washington and the points here.
Eagles at Cardinals.
Now, I told you last week, bet less on the Giants-Arizona. That was my least favorite pick. That was my, and I was right. I was wrong on that. This is my least favorite pick. So bet less. But I'm going to take Arizona minus 6.5 at home against Philadelphia. Here's why. If you look at what Philadelphia did last week to Arizona, to New Orleans, the Saints were guessing. They had no idea what they were going to get. Arizona knows exactly what they're going to get with Jalen Hurts because they see it every day at practice. It's a better version. It's called Kyler Murray. They're very used to practicing and seeing a highly athletic quarterback. By the way, Philadelphia allows quarterbacks that run to have success. Philadelphia's defense has 4 picks all year. Translation, Kyler Murray will be comfortable. Vegas likes Philadelphia, but I think an Arizona team, Arizona's becoming easy to predict. When Kyler's healthy and can run, they beat the Bills. They're good. They dominated the Giants. Kyler's healthy. He's going to be moving. I like him here against Philadelphia to win and cover. 28-20.
Chiefs at Saints.
Like it. I love it. Saints is my bet of the week. Now, the line's going to be all over the place. I bet it Monday. I got the Saints at 4. Breeze is now the starter. The number will probably come crashing down, and you won't get the number I got, but I got Saints plus 3.5, and I love the pick. First of all, right now, the Chiefs' red zone defense is not good. The Chiefs' red zone offense is not good. Buffalo's is, by the way. What does that tell me? Is that the Chiefs are allowing touchdowns, not field goals, on defense, and they're scoring more field goals than touchdown on offense. I think the Saints' defense is one of two, the Rams the other, allowing less than 300 yards a game. This Saints' defense is really the story of this team. It's not Peyton. It's not Breeze. This is a great roster and a great defense, and Drew Breeze was always ready to play this week. Kansas City was preparing for Taysom Hill. Not going to play. I like the Saints still fighting for the number one seed to win it. 28-27. There you go, my Blazing Five. All of our Blazing Five picks. Check out the Fox Bet social platforms. So I've got underdog Denver, underdog Washington, underdog New Orleans, Arizona, and Miami. Now, all week I keep hearing, what about Tua and Belichick? What about Cam with no weapons? At least Tua's got weapons. How about Cam with no weapons against Flores? And for the record, I don't have the numbers on me. Through the years, Belichick, remember Matt Patricia beat him one time. Belichick against his assistants. Now, his assistants don't always crush, but some of his assistants have done pretty well because they know a little bit of the secret sauce. So I saw this. This is a tweet by Chris Mortensen, who's a great guy, Mort Report. He says, one NFC general manager made an observation after the Charger game with the Raiders last night. And the observations were, according to Mortensen, according to the NFC GM, the Chargers have a superstar at quarterback with Herbert. Anthony Lynn should remain the coach. He won 12 games 2 years ago. Don't overreact to Anthony Lynn. You can make that argument. And number three, Marcus Mariota looks like an NFL starter. Okay. And I knew we were going to get this morning. I'm driving in. I know this is a topic. Marcus Mariota has a quality I do not know if you can coach out of people. Carson Wentz has it. Sam Darnold has it. He's reckless. He is truly fast. He is big, 6'4". He's a playmaker. But he's a little bit the definition of a tease. His first NFL start, he had a perfect passer rating, 4 TDs, no picks. End of the year, he was 3-9 and only played 12 games. You know, you've gone on a date before. The first date, you fall in love. The second date, you're like, I like him, but he's a little cray-cray. Third date, halfway through, check, please. He's a tease. He is big, and he's dynamic, and he's strong, and he's fast, and he's reckless. He got smoked 3 times last night. Lamar Jackson, we all freak out. He's going to get hurt. He rarely gets hit. Russell Wilson never gets hit. Kyler Murray never gets hit. Jalen Hurts slides. No. Marcus Mariota doesn't slide. He's Carson Wentz. He puts his head down, runs over you. That's what 6'4", 6'5", guys do. Because they ran over guys in high school. They ran over guys in college. And now you're like, be finesse. Slow down. Kyler Murray and Russell have always been small. Jalen Hurts has always been small. They run and they know, I don't want to get a hit by a guy who can bench press Delaware, 38 pounds heavier, 4 inches taller. But when you get these big athletes, Carson Wentz is big, Josh Allen's big, Mariota's big, slide? Bro, I was the biggest guy on my high school team. I was the best athlete in my college team. They don't slide. Marcus doesn't. Did you see last night? Like four times he got popped. The other thing is, he's a reckless quarterback. He's physically reckless. I like him. I like Wentz. I like Darnold. I don't think you can teach reckless out of people. His TD interception ratio in his career is 77 touchdowns, 45 picks. And you're like, that's not good. Oh, no, it's worse. If you take out 1 year, he had one good year. It's 32 touchdowns, 26 picks. He's reckless. He's reckless as a thrower. He had a couple throws last night. You're wincing. So he's a reckless runner. He's a big athlete. And these big athletes, they run over people in high school and college. And then you get them to the NFL, and you're asking Carson Wentz, who was probably the biggest kid in his high school, and then he goes to North Dakota, and he's 6'5", 240, and the DBs are 5'9 and a half, one, and you're asking him, hey, just slide. He's like, slide? I got to tell Josh Allen to slide? Big Ben, Cam, what did they do? They wouldn't slide. Their sensibility is slide. I'm the biggest guy on the football team. Russell slides, Hurts slides, small guy slide, Kyler slides. So I think he's a reckless player, but he is, you see glimpses of him, and he's electric. He is big, and he is fast. He's not Lamar fast. He may be the second fastest quarterback in the league. If you put him in a sprint with Russell Wilson or Kyler, I think he's faster. He is a big, fast, electric, playmaking athlete. But so I watched this last night, and I'm like, just go look at the data. Go look at the numbers. The less you see, the more you like. The more you see, the less you like. And I'm rooting for him. John Gruden after the game. I mean, first of all, I do think Marcus is the most talented backup in the league. And I do think in a pinch, you could start him for a season. I mean, if you knew you were going to draft somebody or develop somebody, and you could use him for a season. I'm not saying he wouldn't win you games, but he wouldn't play all 16. He'd get hurt. That's his history, Gruden after.
I mean, it just shows the kind of player, kind of football character he has. I mean, our offensive coordinator isn't here either. You lose Derek, and then we change gears offensively, and Marcus came in and did a great job. And really proud of him. I think that just kind of puts an exclamation point on why we signed him, and just wish we could have won the game for him.
You know, yesterday Greg Cosell talked about this on the show. You can correct a lot of stuff with a quarterback. Josh Allen's throwing motion is much more compact. Drew Locke in the last couple of weeks has stabilized. There's certain things you can get out of guys, you know, play with more urgency, less casual play. I'm not sure you can get, I mean, and I say this because the kids I went to high school and college with that are reckless have been reckless adults. Like sometimes you grow up with brothers and you're wrestling on the couch and this is just who you are. You drink, instead of four beers at a party, you drink seven. Instead of, you know, driving a little over the speed limit, you're always a little more than you should be over the speed limit. You ski, and about every third year, you rip your body up skiing. Like, reckless, it's almost like a DNA genetic thing. It's hard to coach people out of reckless. I don't know if you can. Maybe you can, I don't know. But that's what I see with Mariota and Wentz and Darnold. And there's parts of all of them. I mean, you know how much I like Darnold. I watch him now. I'm like, Sam, you're not a linebacker at Ocean Heights High School. You can't put your head down and run head first into a pile. This is the NFL. You can't do it. Former Patriot quarterback, Matt Cassel's now doing some media. His thoughts on what's going on in New England, what he saw last night, as we move to the middle part of our show in hour number two.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Tonight, it's the Pac-12 Championship as Oregon takes on number 13 USC. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific. Then tomorrow, fourth-ranked Ohio State looks to secure a spot in the college football playoff against number 14 Northwestern in Big Ten Championship at noon Eastern. Both games are available only on Fox and the Fox Sports app.
The Ohio State game with Northwestern, I have a feel for it. I've watched every play from USC this year, and I don't know if they're any good, and they're undefeated. They have a terrific young quarterback. They have recruited the wide receiver position exceedingly well. So what USC does is they get outplayed, and then it becomes a shootout, and they just have better players. So my take tonight is Oregon takes a lead and USC ends up winning in the end, because Oregon just, you don't want to get into a shootout with USC because they are really, really good at quarterback and wide receiver. Our next guest is really interesting. I wanted to talk to him for a while. Matt Cassel played in the NFL for 12 years. He backed up Carson Palmer, Tom Brady, Tony Romo, Matt Stafford, Marcus Mariota. He has a great understanding of the game. He now works for NBC Sports in Boston. He's doing some Sirius XM stuff, and he is now joining us live. You have got so many unique experiences. And of all the quarterbacks that you were around, Carson Palmer, to me, probably is the one guy. He looked like a quarterback. He was a five-star guy. And I watched Justin Herbert, Matt, and I said this earlier. Listen, even if you're good as a rookie, it shouldn't look this easy. Like, he looks like Andrew Luck with a better arm. I'm kind of blown away with him. No preseason. When you see him, what do you see with Herbert?
Right, I'm fascinated about this young man, and he's got an incredible arm. He's got all the intangibles and the tangibles. I mean, it explodes off his hand. But not only that, I mean, what's most impressive about this guy, and it started early, is when they said that he was going to start. You know, Tyrod Taylor gets the unfortunate injury to his lung, and they come up to him right before the game and say, "Hey, young man, you're going to go out and play today," right? And he probably wasn't getting a lot of valuable reps at that point. And also, by the way, you're playing the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the reigning Super Bowl champions.
Right.
Go out there and get, you know, give it a whirl. And he went and took that team down, up and down the field. He performed really well. They had to go to overtime for the Kansas City Chiefs to eventually beat him. But from that point on, the composure, the maturity that he's shown, the ability to go through his progression, the vision that he has, the toughness, and his ability to run the football too. A lot of people don't talk about that because he's such a good pocket passer, but he can make plays with his legs. So he's been outstanding all year, and it's hard to imagine that this kid can continue to get better, but he just continues to get better week in and week out. And it's a really, really exciting for the NFL and just for any Charger fan right now watching this team. He's just an outstanding player.
Yeah, like as you pointed out, his demeanor in his first start, Joy and I watched it. We're like, he should have been just a nervous wreck. And he apparently just laughed, smiled, and let's take on Patrick Mahomes. Now, the Brady situation is interesting. So you a little bit were the opposite of Brady. You were very mobile in your career. You played in multiple systems. But we asked Tom Brady, who played in one, to go new city, no preseason, new players, new system, new coaches. I mean, it's hard, Matt, when you get a new coordinator. Everything right? For Tom is new. Has he over-delivered to you? What, like, tell me the experience when you get into a team and how difficult it can be.
Oh, it's very difficult, especially when you go to a new team, new city. Not only that, you just have to get comfortable with your personnel, the people that you're around. And normally you can start to establish that during off season, you know, in any normal off season, when you have OTAs, you have mini camps, you're around the guys. But this season, obviously with COVID and everything else going on, he didn't have that opportunity. So of course you're doing Zoom meetings, and I'm sure that there was a lot of great discussions that took place, but until you actually get out on the field and start seeing how some of these routes develop, you know, what's being asked of you, how they like to call plays. They didn't have preseason either, so you don't get into a rhythm with your play caller. So really you start at square one when you get to week one of the football season. So you're kind of learning on the fly, you're learning on the go, you're starting to understand how he likes to call a game, your coordinator with Brian Leftwich and Bruce Arians. So it's going to take time to adjust to that, and I think he's done a remarkable job. Honestly, they've lost five games, two of them to New Orleans. They've lost to Rams, who's a very good team. I mean, these are good football teams with good defenses, and you're going to have to play your best football to beat teams like that. And so he's had his struggles at times with the deep ball, but he's been deadly accurate in anything 20 yards or under. He's been taking care of the football for most part of the season. He's limited the number of sacks. He knows when to get rid of the ball. I mean, so it's a process, and everybody has a microscope on Brady, deservedly so, because this is his first team that he's been, I mean, first year out of the New England system in the last 20 years with all these weapons, and everybody's expectation is just, hey, there is going to be no issues. There's going to be no problems. But the fact of the matter is there is continued growth every single time he steps on that field.
You know, it's interesting. We were talking about this in the NBA. There's an understanding. There's an alpha, there's a dog, there's a star. You let him be a star and you find complementary pieces that can play with a Shaq or a LeBron. That's understood. in the NFL, nobody's going to give Carson Wentz, the expensive star quarterback, a break, even though Nick Foles, Jalen Hurts, second round, he's asked every week, and we're like, hey, just deal with it. And I do think it's tough to get benched and to get a quarterback. You're not an old guy. You're a young guy. You're the future, and they draft the quarterback in the second round. And I know I don't think he needs to be babysat, right? But I do think Philadelphia is a harsh town. The criticism's intense. I think a lot of this stuff, I mean, you were a backup to a lot of quarterbacks. Do you have to be careful about sometimes making sure the starter knows he's a starter and there are some sensitive kind of moments in that relationship?
I mean, there is. You have to give confidence to your starter. At the same time, you know, at the end of the day, for Wentz in particular, his performance was the issue, and they had to do something at that position. I mean, he was leading the league in interceptions. He also had multiple fumbles, and so he was hurting his team, and they gave him every opportunity to give him confidence, and Doug Peterson was behind him the entire time, you know, saying he's our starter, he's our guy, we're going to get better. They obviously had a lot of offensive line issues that you can point to, the wide receiver position, but at the end of the day, you are the focal point. And if you don't take care of the football and put your team into a bad situation where you can't win football games because you turn over the ball, well, then it's inevitable that they're going to make a switch and give another guy an opportunity and see if he can do better.
Yeah. I want you know the New England system, you know Brady. So right now, for the next 5 years, if Belichick coaches five more years, he's going to face Josh Allen twice a year. He's going to face Tua twice a year. He could possibly face Trevor Lawrence twice a year. Okay, that's no good. That's a lot of talent, and you know this. One of the advantages for Brady over the years is he faced a lot of quarterbacks that didn't last. And then you got the best coach, you got that. So I look at New England, and I'm like, Belichick's got a plan for everything. Into his brain, do you think he goes and gets a Stafford or a Garoppolo as he's older maybe? Or do you think he wants the juice and to be re-energized with a college kid? Maybe Cam gets another year, but I Cam's not performing at a high level. Where do you think Belichick goes, Matt, this point forward, next 5 years?
Yeah, you brought up a good name, Matt Stafford. If he's there, I mean, he's a guy that I played with. He's got an incredible football IQ. He's a great leader. He can make all the throws, and he's been in a city there that just hasn't been able to win ball games. But at the same time, a guy that can come in and start to help you win right away and be competitive in a league and in a division, that had all those quarterbacks that you just talked about. He's a guy. Jimmy Garoppolo, obviously, they have familiarity with him. He's somebody that they have confidence in and would love to have him come back if San Francisco decides to get rid of him. But when you look at the free agency market, really at the quarterback position right now, you're talking about veterans. You talk about guys like Marcus Mariota. You talk about Mitch Trubisky. You talk about guys like that. And I don't know if those are great fits for this system. And then at the same time, you also can look to the draft. Right now, though, they're drafting at 16. Right. And that means the Trevor Lawrences, the Justin Fields, the Zach Wilsons are probably not going to be there in that point in the draft. So is it worth taking a risk? And we know the history of Bill Belichick. He'd rather trade down, get more draft capital than trade up and try to go after a guy that you don't know and maybe is a question mark for you at the quarterback position. But the quarterback position is going to be pivotal for this team moving forward to be successful. They got to get back on track. And look, when you talked about Cam Newton, this whole season's not all on Cam Newton. When you're evaluating the lack of weapons on the outside, Demir Byrd, Jacoby Myers are playing, but Julian Edelman's been out. Their tight ends, they haven't had much production. They've only had 14 catches amongst their tight ends, zero TD receptions. Their offensive line's are strength. Their run game's are strength. Cam's definitely stepped up in the run game. But overall, it's not the offense that we're used to seeing with Brady. They're not able to spread it out, get into different personnel groups. They're really primarily in 21 personnel, which is a two-back formation, two-wide receiver. Yeah. It's very simplistic. So hopefully moving forward, though, they've got a lot of different concerns other than just the quarterback position.
Yep, you did play with Matty Stafford. Matt Cassel, great having you on SiriusXM NBC Sports Boston. Love to have you on again, bud. Thanks.
Absolutely. Thank you for having me.
You bet. He's a Manhattan Beach guy, too. Yeah. A lot of people leaving California. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
Well, Drew Brees is expected to start on Sunday against the Chiefs. He reportedly took the majority of the first team reps when he returned to practice this week and has not been feeling any pain. The team believes he is fully healthy and doctors have cleared him to play. So he will likely be starting against the Chiefs. Now, Taysom Hill in four starts was 3-1, had a 71.9 completion percentage, 834 yards, four touchdowns, two interceptions. He also rushed for 209 yards and four rushing touchdowns. The remaining schedule for the Saints is the Chiefs, Vikings, and at the Panthers.
Those are not easy games. I think they'll win all of them, but this is the, in my opinion, best roster in the league, and this says that Sean Payton wants to get the number one seed. That's what he's saying.
Well, there's only one this year for the AFC and NFC, and it's going to be crucial. This has been a really rough year. Obviously, the bye is nice in any year. You prefer to not have to play an extra game and get your guys healthy, but I think especially in this particular season, the constant emotion and anxiety of dealing with COVID every single day and testing every single day and all the added stresses of just this entire year, having a week off is going to be really nice for these guys on top of getting healthy. And, you know, they're not necessarily a young team either. So, yeah, they definitely want that. Now, the Packers have the number one seed right now. But I don't mind Drew Brees coming back if he feels healthy. He's had four games off. He had five games off last season. And Taysom Hill has a ceiling. And you want to win those games. It's important to get that bye. Now, if he comes back, obviously, and gets banged up again, then that's going to be a bad situation. But you can't play like that. Like, if he's healthy, he's your starting quarterback. He needs to be out there. So Kyrie Irving caused quite a stir, a little bit of controversy, when he refused to speak to reporters during Nets Media Week. He finally gave an interview on Monday and tried to explain the reasoning behind his silence. But Charles Barkley is not happy with Kyrie and did not hold back when he was discussing his recent behavior.
I'm not sure what point Kyrie is trying to make. And when he talks, I'm like, what is he saying and what is he trying to say? He starts talking about what an artist he is. He's a basketball player. That's what he is. We're not frontline responders. We're not teachers. Yo, man, you dribble a basketball. Stop acting like you're the smartest person in the world. Well, first of all, you only went to college for 6 months. A lot of guys are smarter than you are. Just answer stupid basketball questions.
This really splits people, Kyrie's comments. I personally don't. Now, listen, you signed a contract. So at the end of the day, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, you have to talk to the media. It's been negotiated by you.
Yes, you can choose not to sign that contract.
Or pay the fine for not talking.
Or pay the fine.
Yeah, whatever you
want
to do.
But you can't act surprised when things that you agreed to in your contract are held up by the people who you signed a contract with. I will say, I've had a lot of discussions with players over the past week about this. I don't think players should have to talk to the media. I don't think it should be a requirement. There's always going to be guys in the locker room who want to talk to the media or who are willing to talk to the media. If you have a bad game and you're not feeling it and you don't want to talk to the media, you're having a bad month, or you just straight up don't want to talk to the media and you're Kyrie Irving, I don't think you should have to.
Well, I don't have to be nice to people, but I do think to lubricate society, I do stuff every day because it's just a nicer thing to do. Just be accommodating for.
Oh, I think he should.
Yeah.
He absolutely should.
Yeah.
But I don't think that you should be, and it should be negotiated, but I think the coach should always have to talk to the media.
Yeah.
I don't think the players should have to. It's not going to bother me either way. I'm in the media. But here's the thing. Every action has consequences. So if you choose not to talk to the media, then the media is just going to report what they see. The media would like to ask you, oh, at this particular point in the game, what was going on here? Or seems like you had a little bit of an issue with this at this point in the game. What was going on there? Yes, the media asks ridiculous questions you don't want to answer from time to time. Yes, we can be obnoxious. Yes, we're going to be critical. You're in the spotlight. My thing with Kyrie is, just like every action has consequences, you've chosen to pursue a career where you are a public figure. And being a public figure, that comes with certain responsibilities, and it comes with just a reality of people want to talk about you, they're interested in you. Part of the fact that people are interested in you is what leads to endorsements, which leads to money. Like, there's things that surround what you do. I get what Charles is saying. I mean, just answer the basketball questions. It seems simple.
Well, I think Yeah, I mean, when you say the world's flat, I'm going to move off. You're the smartest guy in the room, but I'm not going to take shots at him. But I think Kyrie sometimes is trying too hard. Just, you know, I think just accommodate people. It's just a nicer way to live. It's better for society. It's better for you. It's better for everybody. Just talk to people.
Well, I think
LeBron does. Michael did. Magic did. And LeBron is so gracious. It doesn't matter if he's in Sacramento and it's a Cub reporter, he goes right over there to give him the time of day. It takes him a minute.
It goes a long way. I think the idea is that now, because there's social media, players don't necessarily have to use the media to get messaging out. But the reality is, all of the media follows your social media, and they're just going to react to what you put on your social media. So it doesn't eliminate it anyway. So the NBA has launched an investigation surrounding the Clippers' acquisition of Kawhi Leonard. According to a recently filed lawsuit, the Clippers and the team and team consultant Jerry West are being accused of agreeing to pay a man close with Kawhi named Johnny Wilkes to help them sign the free agents. So he claims the Clippers never fulfilled their end of the agreements. Both the Clippers and Jerry West have denied the allegations. And Kawhi responded to the lawsuit and whether Wilkes played any role in his decision to join the team.
No, at all. That has nothing to do with me. It's like my mind to go somewhere. So, you know, I'm from LA. You know, I grew up here my whole life. And out here, you know, people try to, you know, find any way to get some money. So it probably won't be the last. I know a lot of people out here.
I don't buy this story at all. If Jerry West did that, he'd be smart enough to pay him off so the guy didn't talk. Okay, so secondly, you think you're going to tell strong-willed Kawhi Leonard, who pushed back on Greg Popovich, you got a buddy that's going to convince Kawhi to come. Nothing about this story. This seems like somebody trying to get money out of somebody. That's all this seems like to me.
Jerry West
is going to...
Do you know who Jerry West is?
It's just a bunch of nonsense. If Jerry West did this, you'd pay the guy $100,000. Jerry West is worth blankety blank tens of millions.
You feel like there's anyone in the sports world who Jerry West doesn't pick up the phone and call and they don't immediately give him whatever number he's asking for? Like, before they get off the phone, like, oh, yes, Mr. West, whatever it is that you need.
This is a non-story.
Yes, it's a story because, obviously, it's L.A.
I don't buy anything.
Like, no, me either.
You're going to convince Kawhi. Somebody's going to convince Kawhi to come to L.A. Greg Popovich couldn't convince him to play.
I mean, and that's just like an absurd amount of money.
Yeah, stupid.
Yeah, it's not, no.
Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line
Eric
News.
Mangini coming up next. By the way, new streaming service Discovery Plus starts next year. Exclusive originals and things you've loved like the Food Network starts in 2021. Discovery Plus, it's the Herd.
Be sure to catch live editions of the Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Eric Mangini, 3 rings with the Patriots, Browns, Jets head coach is joining me now live on a Friday. Let's not waste any time. All right. John Gruden. I think he's a good coach, but once again, this is third or fourth time in his career, his teams deteriorate in December. I mean, Eric, that's not what Andy Reid's team, Sean Payton, Belichick, Pete Carroll. What does that tell you?
It doesn't make a lot of sense. And I was actually reading an article this past, I think it was August, that out of an Oakland newspaper that talked about the fact that they needed to be better in December if this team was going to be different than last year. And last year was the same deal. They were 6-4 and struggled late. And I think he's only had 3 winning seasons in December. And I'm sure, look, John's pretty self-aware in terms of trying to fix problems. To have that pattern over and over again, sometimes you look at it and you think maybe you're driving the team too hard. Sometimes it's a function of having a team that's too old. Maybe it's the relationship that he has with his quarterbacks. He's retooled this team. I think there's 6 guys left from when he got there, but the piece that he hasn't retooled is the quarterback spot. And you know, he gushed over Mariota when he came in. He always has multiple quarterbacks on the roster going into training camp. maybe a change in the relationship with Carr and a fresh start with someone like Mariota. Maybe that's something that can help him, his guy.
Yeah, Mariota has always been a reckless player to me. He gets hurt a lot, and I have this theory that when you're 6'4", you're 225 in high school and college, you can run over people, and that's hard to coach out of people. Carson Wentz, big. They don't want to duck. You know, Russell Wilson and Murray, they slide. They've always been small guys. Would you give Mariota a chance to – do you think he's an NFL starter?
Yeah, you know, I think a lot of guys do better with their second chance. And Marcus Mariota is a guy who came in at second overall draft pick, high expectations, didn't achieve at the level that they thought he would in Tennessee. But who replaced him? Ryan Tannehill, who people felt underachieved in Miami. And there's a lot of history of quarterbacks doing better in a new spot. You look at, Kurt Warner is a guy that wasn't even found and was playing in arena football. Steve Young didn't win for his first 7 years. Jim Harbaugh was better in Indianapolis than he was in Oakland, Alex Smith. So until you give these guys a second shot, I don't like to write them off.
Breeze instead of Taysom Hill. Why not just give the Chiefs, who you could play later in the year at the Super Bowl, why not give them 3.5 hours of Taysom Hill? Don't give them any Drew Brees. Just throw quirky stuff out there for them to have to work and study. Why rush Brees back?
Well, this is a borderline playoff game. They're trying to maintain it and have the number one seed. So you're going to do that with the best possible player you can have. And if anything, these guys should understand that looking past an opponent will has been a huge problem. You know, they've been guilty of it a little bit in the past. And my experience, the first time we won the Super Bowl, we had a chance to play the Rams early in the season, and that was huge. It was huge from a coaching perspective. It was huge for our players because you're not looking at a team going, you know, who are these guys? You know who they are, and now you're at a different level of understanding what you can do, what your strengths are, what your weaknesses are. And you'd want your starting quarterback to be able to have that opportunity.
Yeah. So I saw Peter King mention it this week. Peter King mentioned something this week, and it was beyond rumor. It made sense. Patriots have cap space. Patriots probably don't get a top three college quarterback. Cam doesn't appear to be working. Matt Stafford, who has he's got money. He's got stats. He doesn't have wins. He wants to win games. Does Stafford and Belichick to you make some sense?
Yeah, it makes some sense. What one of the greatest things that Bill does is bring in free agents. You know, the draft record, you could argue, isn't as good as it should be and isn't as strong as an indicator of their success as what he does in free agency. And the great thing about free agency is you get to look at it with like tape, and you understand who the guy's playing against. And with Matthew Stafford, Bill's played against him a bunch of times, so he appreciates the problems that he creates. You know, he played for Jim Schwartz. Bill has a good relationship with Jim Schwartz. He's going to understand who the player is. So if Stafford makes sense from a culture fit, from a being able to pick up the system fit, I think there's a good chance of that. Now, Matt Patricia, I mean, Bill's got a great relationship with Matt Patricia. He'll be able to tell Bill everything about Stafford from a personality standpoint.
Only with 1 minute, Justin Herbert, your thoughts. He looked good to me.
He looks really good, and he's impressed in a lot of ways. He obviously tied the rookie quarterback record. And all that being said, I like to just slow down people's enthusiasm. We're so quick to anoint people. And I get caught up with it a little bit too because of some of the impressive things that he's done. But when you look at that list of records that he's on the verge of breaking, you know, it's Dak Prescott, it's Carson Wentz, it's Baker Mayfield. You know, you're not saying that those guys are elite guys. Or you could argue one way or the other as to whether or not they're the elite guys. So So it's exciting. I think there's a lot of reason to think that he's, you know, going to be able to tear it up moving forward. But, you know, the league's pretty smart. Coordinators are pretty smart. And they got to see what happens when people start catching up with what he does well and what he does poorly.
Eric Mangini, have a great weekend. We only got 30 seconds. What's the weather like in Cleveland today?
the weather is cold, as you can imagine. I know you're probably headed to ski. We need snow skis here. That, it's pretty consistent that way.
All right, good talking to you, Coach. Yeah,
I saw. All right, we'll talk to you soon,
Joy. We saw this yesterday. Binghamton, New York. Not a mountain got 40 inches of snow. Utah's mountains got last night 6 inches of snow. Those are mountains. So you got 5, 6, 7 times as much snow just in a town out east.
Yeah. I like snow for a weekend.
Yeah.
It can't be a lifestyle.
Boom. There you go. RecTech Grills, RECTEQ.com. It's a grill you can turn on with your phone. You can cook from your phone. 6-year warranty, built like a tank. Last grill you'll buy, RecTech Grills.